We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Light years. Andy Liu, we are 6 days away from training camp starting.
We are 6 days away from training camp starting. That is correct.
We're very close.
That is correct.
I need it now more than ever, Samuel. I need it now more than ever. I need the Golden State Warriors, defending champion Golden State Warriors now. Right now.
Yeah. A couple housekeeping notes before we move on. We're going to watch the Portland Warriors game 4 from 2016 on Wednesday on playback. The infamous Steph Curry I'm here I'm back game. Let's everyone make sure to show up for that one Wednesday night. We're gonna watch that. To all of you who are still alive in our survivor pool, a big F you from me, because I went out week one.
I went out week two. So
silly me thinking that Russell Wilson was good at all.
Yeah, he's really bad at football, which is good for the Niners coming up here in game 3. I had the Bengals because silly me thinking that Cooper Rush was going to be bad at football. But turns out that Joe Burrow is actually worse at football. The Bengals are a bad football team. Sam, the NFL has a lot of bad football teams. I think there's maybe two great football teams in the NFL right now. So, yeah, shout out to the people that are still alive. In the NFL's been a mess, but it's been a great mess.
I know. I thought the first couple of weeks were gimme games, and no. Mm-mm. No such thing as a gimme in the NFL. I guess we should hit a little on today's football before we get to our Warriors topics. I just want to throw this out there. I feel really bad for Trey Lance. Just sucks. It's now been reported he's getting ankle surgery. We're recording this at 5:45 on Sunday. So if news comes out that differs, we apologize. But I just feel really bad for him because it's like it really does feel a little like a Wiseman situation now where it's like he just doesn't get to see the field, you know? And at a certain point, you're like, I don't know what you're supposed to do about him improving.
Yep, that is exactly what it feels like. We are a Golden State Warriors podcast, and it feels exactly like a Golden State Warriors situation for him where we think this kid is he's young, early 20s. We think he's full of potential. We think he can be great in the league one day, and he just cannot play. Wiseman could not stay on the court. Looks like he's healthy now, so good for him. We're excited to see him. But Trey Lance today, man, just a complete. It just felt like a shit show. Honestly, Sam, it felt like we saw this coming. The way that Trey Lance was used last season when he played, the way that I was surprised that Trey was used this season in game one. And then today, I literally tweeted out after he went up the middle two times, I'm like, dude, there's no way he's making it through six games. Little did I know, he couldn't make it through six quarters. You can argue whether this thing was fluky or not because it kind of just happened as he's running up. It's not like it just happened when he fell down or something like that, right? Somebody actually had to bend his ankle backwards. But you're right. It really sucks as a Niners fan, because when was the last time we saw a really young quarterback like this, an athletic young quarterback like this, right? Like probably since Kaepernick, and we're not going to see him until next year. It's awful.
Yeah. One thing that I don't think most people realize, even though this is year two, he's still the youngest starter in the NFL.
That's insane.
It wasn't a heavy quarterback draft, but he's 2 to 3 years younger than, or than guys who are drafted the same year as him.
I mean, Mac Jones is like 35.
Joe Burrow, who was drafted the year before him, is almost a full 4 years older than
him. Yeah, he was like 25 when he was drafted. Something like that.
He's 25 right now. He'll be 26 by the end of the season. Trey's 22. So, like, that's going on. But I don't do we really want to talk about it? Because I don't.
Yes, we do.
I don't feel I know I'm going to get attacked for this, but I don't disagree with the play call. That's just where I'm at with it. Like, I have a very hard time with everyone being like, he's the next Josh Allen or he's like Cam Newton. But then he gets used like those guys. And you get mad that he gets hurt getting used like those guys. Not you, that like the general vague you know, like they.
Sure.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it, where I'm just like, I don't really know what you can do because he's not a pocket quarterback. A big part of his appeal is the power run ability, arguably better than other things he does. So it's like, I don't know, like maybe don't run a QB draw two plays in a row or, you know, two out of three plays maybe, but it's also like, that's like, you know, it's a big part of his game is my thing.
Well, that play, funny enough, was a run pass option too, right? Like it wasn't a called QB draw, although earlier in the game that there was a called QB draw there, but that play was a run pass option and Trey kind of took it upon himself to run right up the middle. The thing about Trey, he's talked about not being bigger or faster than NFL guys. And you just see him do it repeatedly. That first game in Arizona, he went head to head at the goal line with
Isaiah Simmons.
Last year, right? Remember that when he just went head to head and I thought he was concussed. I thought today he was concussed, which, like, as messed up as it sounds, probably is better than a broken ankle, right? Because concussion may be out a week or so. But my frustration, though, Sam, because I was frustrated coming out of this game, is that if you're going to call all these plays for him and not even let him pass, because really they didn't even let him pass more than two times going into that play, then why is he even playing? Just start Jimmy. I mean, just start Jimmy and just call it. That's my thing.
Isn't that like a script thing? Like they always start the game with like this elaborate run scheme to open. Like even against the Bears last week, they started with these, you know, Debo in motion. It looks really it looks cool when it works for sure. Like, and then he opens up with the play action off of it. Like, I don't know, man. I
feel like the goal of Trey Lance is to not have him play. Cam Newton's career is over. And it's not like he's not going to get to play until he's older in the NFL. I think the same thing is going to go for Trey if they're going to play him this way. My thing with Trey was when he was drafted, it's not to have him run around. It's to have him be like the Russell Wilson type of player, right? It's to be the guy that can scramble, but he's also not going to blow the top. He's not a Lamar Jackson. He's not going to blow the top off and run for 30 yards.
I feel like his best case comp is always going to be Josh Allen, who is like kind of Tebow-ish early on where you're like, with an arm.
No, he was bad, but
but it was just like, I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to try to truck people and run through them. And like, to be fair.
And by the way, Josh Allen's 6'6". He's way bigger than Trey. So.
Or he's like another 10 pounds. Anyway, absurd. But and then he developed into a guy who could pass out of it. So it's like, my whole thing with Trey is like, it just sucks. We don't get to see him play 6 weeks in a row, 8 weeks in a row. It's like, we do this with Wiseman, which is why I hate making that comp, but it's also kind of like you're going off of these glimpses when really you just need to see them play a full season in a row and make a you know, because it's like, you know, we're now microanalyzing. It's like, why did he call that play there? It's like he called that play because the next play was going to run a play action off it, but he didn't even get to the next play type of thing.
Yeah. I just think there needs to be, there has to be something where this is not the first time we've seen Trey get hurt. We've now seen Trey get hurt multiple times and he's only played five NFL games. I actually think four NFL games. So I just think there needs to be more of an expectation that dude's he just shouldn't be running. Right. So those plays just shouldn't be called. I think that's the frustrating part where you draft a guy with a cannon arm. I actually think that's the point of drafting Trey. The point of drafting Trey is that you can roll him out, make him mobile, and he could throw the ball 50 yards down the field, or he can escape pressure, right? And I think that's the point of Trey Lance, is those two things. The point of Trey Lance is not getting him and running up the middle every play, because if that's the case, I prefer them start Jimmy. And if you cut Jimmy, I prefer them start Brock Purdy. Because if you're not going to get a guy that you actually want to throw the football, then just don't throw the football then. Like, just don't play him. Because he's obviously not ready. At least Kyle is telling us, Sam, that Trey is not ready. So he's running him up the middle. So why? What's the point? Because and
my final, my, Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just think the final frustrating piece for me, because obviously the Niners are going to win 10 games this season. They're going to be good. They'll be fine. But
they might win the NFC, dude.
I know. Actually, let's get to that after this, because I think my biggest frustration is you lose a year of Trey Lance playing. That's the biggest thing for me, because the Niners are really freaking good. That defense, I think it might be the best in the NFL. But you lose a year of Trey, and you lose a year of Trey maybe becoming Josh Allen or Cam Newton, or even someone that's not even as good, like maybe even a Kyler, right, who was awesome today. You lose a year of a guy that maybe can get there, when we sit here and you and I know that Jimmy's not going to win him a Super Bowl. We know that. So you lose a year of development.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
That's true. That's
fact. I mean,
Trent Dilfer did too.
I don't know. My overall frustration is 100% in line with you. My only thing is I just don't know what you do, because so much of what makes Trey attractive is that he can run the ball. And like so much of why guys like Josh Allen are valuable is because the threat of their run. So you're trying to establish the run to open up those passes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It just sucks. I don't have much else to say about it. It just sucks. Everyone can work through their emotions the way they want to. I think what's weirdest about this is like they have such a stacked team, and the NFC is so the Rams don't look like they're better than last year, that's for sure. Obviously Tom Brady's always a kind of scary, but like Green Bay's not better than they were last. It's just a weak conference, so they could easily do what they did last year, which is like, yeah, we're just gonna give it to Debo in the backfield 40 times a game and see what
happens. Niners are better than they were last year. You can argue yeah. I think objectively you can argue that, because Jimmy's the same guy, and
Bosa's defense is
better.
Yeah. There's no reason that they shouldn't be better by the end of the season than they were at the end of last season.
They started 3-5 last season. They look awful. This season, their defense looks like it's the best in the NFL by far. Now they play two shit teams. They're going to play another bad team in Denver coming up next week. But anyway, maybe we should get off the Niners. I'm with you. I think it's hilarious. Actually, it's not funny, but it is interesting that the Niners might still end up in the NFC Championship game, even though their franchise quarterback is now done for the season. So bittersweet game for the
49ers. They're the only team that can lose their quarterback of the future for the season, bring in a guy that's been annoying, like just kind of like it's not even that he's like a bad player, a good player. Like the situation's just annoying, right?
Yes.
And you can still sit here and be like, yeah, they could actually rip off a bunch and go 12-5 and
easily.
You know, it's bizarre, like. I was texting with you during the game. They're winning the game. You can see that they'll be fine in terms of generating wins in the short term, but you're also like not happy while you're watching it. It's just it's a bizarre feeling.
That is my mood at all times watching the Niners. I wasn't even happy watching Trey Lance. So nothing makes me happy. Everything makes me frustrated, but you know who makes us happy. You know who does make us happy.
The one man who never disappoints. Number 30. You see him at Canelo Golovkin?
I did see him. Is he a Canelo fan? Because I know he was in the locker room after. Canelo a Steph fan?
He was with Juan.
That makes sense. Right. That
you know, I'm assuming Juan was on Team Canelo. Just a hunch.
That didn't pop up to me. I should be smarter.
And by the way, I don't think the Warriors are gonna miss Juan as a basketball player per se, but it's going to be kind of bizarre seeing him on the Lakers sideline. Cause like, he is a very likable teammate and a guy you liked having on the Warriors, just cause local ties, you throw him out there. He was at least reliable for effort. And he did have a few games where it was like, he helped, there's certain games where like Draymond or Clay or somewhere like dragging, and you need someone like Juan to just go in there and bring some momentum. Right.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he's a lovable guy. We'll see how he looks in LA. LA might actually need him to play, which might be a problem. But he's someone that I think
You think they're going to have Russ running split cuts while he's at the top of the key? Oh,
my God. Russ might be coming off the bench. So, hey, shout out to the Lakers, by the way. They keep making moves every couple of weeks. They're in the news every couple of weeks, and it's good for us. It's just entertaining to watch them kind of be a train wreck in real time. I love the Lakers. They're awesome.
They're very important to us. We appreciate what you're doing. Because every time they make a move, I have a bunch of fake Zach Lowe shams on the timeline telling me how like this is going to change everything for the Lakers. I'm like, stop. What's going to change everything for the Lakers is like, LeBron AD deciding that they're going to play like it's 2019, you know?
By the way, they also have to play all 82 games too. That's the thing.
That's the bigger thing.
Dennis Schroeder is not saving you. Although he's a good player. But
I don't know about that. But okay.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like since we got camp starting in 6 days, maybe 5 days when this pod comes out, camp starts the 24th. Obviously, they're going to Japan, going to play the Wizards. We're getting there. And
I'm a little confused why the Wizards are in Japan. Like, they couldn't pick any other team.
God, man.
Keep it moving, Sam. That was bad. I might have to take that off the pod. But you are correct.
It's been an emotional Sunday. It's okay. You're excused. You're excused, my man. What was I going to say? So outside of everyone getting their legs under them, I feel like the big story in camp is contract extensions, right? Like, will they or won't they? So for those of you who don't know, most you got to kind of agree to your extension before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Wiggins, Draymond, and Jordan Poole, Jordan Restricted, will all be free agents next year. So early extension time would be now. Now, personally, I don't know how you felt, but I felt like I didn't think they were going to come to early contract extensions. Mm-hmm. I just thought that there was going to be kind of a negotiation gap. Not that they wouldn't return, but they weren't going to. The Warriors are trying to get guys at the best number possible because they're so far over the cap. And all those guys are probably going to want more money. They're going to at least try to shoot their shot, get the most money they can. And then, you know, at least when it's free agency time, they can be like, hey, Bob, the Kings are willing to offer me this. What's your best offer? Then they make a decision, right? That's kind of what I thought was going to happen. But friend of the show, Tim Kawakami, threw this out there that he feels, after talking to Bob Myers, he feels a little more optimistic that they may come to an agreement with Draymond and Wiggins, which was interesting to me. TK plugged in. I don't think he's just going off of gut. He's got some sources. He's thinking a little bit there. So my question for you is, when you hear that, what do you think? And then more so, where are you with the three players in general on an early extension happening?
Let's start with Wiggins.
Okay.
That's the easy one. Let's start with Wiggins. The Wiggins one, I'm not surprised because it always felt like to me, if there's one guy out of the three and maybe four, if you want to throw in Clay, that's going to take a
Clay's a year later, but yeah.
Yeah. A little pay cut, quote unquote, because he's still getting paid a lot of money. But if he's a guy that says, hey, I know where I want to be. I know I'm going to be happy here. I know life is easier here. And also I've led a team before. I know that that's not what I want to do anymore. And I'll play for the Warriors for $30 million instead of whatever the max is, because he wants the max. That's Wiggins, right? That's Wiggins. So to me, if one guy is going to be signed in the next few days here, that's going to be the guy. And it always felt like that was going to be the guy. I feel like that's also the guy that the Warriors, it feels like at this point in their career, that's the guy that the Warriors can't lose. Also, I think Wiggins sees it as almost he wants the cash in now versus what happens in the season if he does get injured, God forbid, right? He tears something. Yeah. He is older. He's not, it, like, if Jordan Poole gets hurt, I think he still gets a contract. I don't think that's an issue. So I think with Wiggins, that was the guy that was always most likely to come back for me.
It's not even that he's older. I think it's
that's
his values at his best. What he showed in the playoffs was something no one had ever seen from him at any year in his career. And that's being an effective winning player when your shot doesn't fall. My criticism of Wiggins over the years has always been, he's good, but like if his shot isn't falling, what else does he do? Right. And in the finals, he didn't hit any shots. He didn't hit three pointers. He was, if you look at the percentages, he shot the ball poorly, but he was also maybe the second best player on the team. Why? Right. Because he affected the game by rebounding, by finishing inside, by defending. Like, he did all the things that you thought he was capable of, but he'd never done with consistency.
Yep.
So I think part of it is, you know, Wiggins, who gets 8 rebounds a game, that's a very nice player. Wiggins gets 3 rebounds a game. Yeah, maybe he doesn't get as much money as you think. So I think there's potential for him to be like, this is, let's cash in now and just guarantee this instead of let people like overthink this in the offseason and everything.
I'm with you. That's the guy where it's easy. Both teams want him. The Warriors need him. They need a two-way wing, another two-way wing. With GP gone, they need him consistently, and the Wiggins wants to be here. I think he's as happy as he's ever going to be. I think that one's an easy one. I don't know if it's guaranteed to be signed, but it feels like if TK is reporting that, they're probably negotiating. And
he's not, just to be clear, he's not reporting. He's just saying that's his hunch.
Yeah.
I think this is interesting.
Just close to reporting as it gets nowadays.
Yeah. I think this is interesting, and I think this is worth pointing out. So like for me, look, they're all getting a ton of money, so I don't really care how much they get, like in so much as like I think everyone should try to get the most money they can in whatever situation they're in, and that goes in every direction possible. But like the contract number for fans only really matters in the context if it helps the team get closer or farther from a title. Like if paying Wiggins limits the Warriors so they can't win a title, then like it's bad. If paying Wiggins helps them win a title, it's good, right? Like it's really that simple. And that was kind of always a criticism with Wiggins. And I think this is super interesting. When Wiggins signed his extension, the cap was about $100 million. I think it was 101. Next year, the cap will be 135.
Woo!
So, or 134, sorry. So my point is it's 30. You're talking about 25%, 27% increase in general. When Wiggins came to the Warriors, he was making about 30, and he was the 25th highest paid player in the NBA. His contract was in line with guys like Joel Embiid. And that was the issue. You're paying him Embiid money, but you're not getting, you know,
the Embiid superstar production.
First option. You're not getting a first option for first option money.
Sure.
If he was to get extended at the same salary he makes right now, like in other words, he doesn't get a raise, you're just kind of keeping him on that same money. He's now like the 40th highest paid player next year.
And where does that take him? Who's that put him next to?
Gordon Hayward, Chris Paul, Jaylen Brown, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan. Yeah.
I could argue that in terms of winning a championship, he deserves that money more than all those guys you just named. In terms of winning a championship. But
at minimum, you could say it's the ball. It's like the range you should be in, probably.
Yes, correct.
It's
correct.
Closer to third option money, which is probably – because if you think about it, Kawhi and Paul George next year will be making 45. So if they're making 45, in other words, that's what like first option wings make. That's what like the KDs of the world make. He might make 48 or 50. LeBron makes about 48-50. If those class of guys are getting that much, Wiggins around 30 all of a sudden makes sense, right? Because like you're not paying him Kawhi Leonard money. You're paying him a tier below it, which is exactly what you're paying him third option money.
So let me ask you this. Are you saying that the Warriors got lucky again with a salary cap spike?
I don't even think it's lucky. I just think it's like, I think it's just the reality of their situation It's weird to say, but like that 20 high 20s to low 30s number for a player of his skill set, which is your lead defensive wing, your third, fourth option on offense, your guy who kind of plays the Sean Marion third-ish option role, but is very important. That's kind of the going rate for those guys now. That's kind of what it is. And if they sign him for that, A, no one's going to call it a bad contract. B, let's just say in a future world, Kuminga exceeds him as a player and Moses Moody pops and they kind of want to trade Wiggins for something else because they want to give the spot to Kuminga, right?
Right, sure.
They can also do that too. Because he'll no longer be the worst contract in the NBA or something like that. Like the point is, it's funny how if they can get him somewhere around his current salary, it's a steal because of the way the cap is trending.
And I think to your point about the trade, those two guys aren't going to be better than Wiggins in the next two seasons.
Definitely not next year.
Yeah,
like the following years also like. Optimistic.
Right. So it all works out well in the Wiggins situation, I think, for him and the Warriors. All in all, I think that's the point you're making. Financially for the Warriors, it makes sense. For Wiggins, it makes sense from a money and a where he's going to play perspective. Whereas, I mean, the dude, like you said, was the second best player. The thing about the Warriors is that they have three guys that should get paid third, like this type of contract. Like they don't have a guy. They don't have like a.
They have one guy who deserves that super max tier, and he's getting it. Just to be clear,
and then there's no guy where it's like you said, Paul George. I think he's a second tier. Like objectively, that's a second tier guy. Mm-hmm. I think for the Warriors, Draymond, Klay, and Wiggins are all in that third. Right. I mean, you can argue. I mean, you can argue Draymond defensively is in that second tier, and then Klay.
But the health questions. Yeah.
I think those guys are all kind of third-ish, which is great for the Warriors because that's just three guys. That's four guys that are all championship players. But anyway, that's Wiggins. That's how we feel about him. Do you want to?
So I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see if Wiggins was to get maxed. It'd be more in that 40-ish range. It'd be more towards what Klay makes, what Anthony Davis makes, what Jimmy Butler makes, like those guys. That's like what his max is. So the real question is, like, I think if the Warriors were to extend him early, it'd be more like what we're talking about, like that 30-ish range. And I think if he's willing to accept that, you'd do it because it's like, it's a win-win for both sides. He's comfortable with the money and you get him in a number that very much matches who he is as a player. Like DeRozan has a better handle than him, but like I wouldn't trade him for DeRozan.
No, that's a great one. I think same with Gordon Hayward. Those are obviously Hayward can't stay healthy, but those are two great ones where, yeah, if you put the ball in their hands offensively, you'll probably take a Hayward and a DeMar DeRozan, but you put the ball in their hands and that gets you to 40 wins in the regular season. The Warriors aren't trying to get to 40 wins with first option.
They're trying to get a guy who needs a ball in his hands. Yeah.
Well, you know, if he could create a little bit, maybe better. But what they need him to do is defensively. And DeMar and Hayward can't do what Wiggins can do defensively. And also willing to take that role as a guy that just shoots threes. Like DeMar can't shoot and Wiggins can't play the defense that – I mean, Hayward can't play the defense that Wiggins can. So really, it's just a perfect fit.
Yeah, and I'd argue, the little better those guys are in terms of shot creation, Wiggins is better on the other side. So it's kind of negligible. They're kind of the same caliber of player. They're good play. They're all really good players. They're just not like great players, right?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The Draymond one's a little more interesting to me. I'm going to read you a couple numbers here.
Oh, boy.
So when Draymond signed his extension, which was 4 for about 100, so about 25 a year, it technically scales. He's making 27 or something like 26 next year. But when he signed it, it was, you know, it's 4 for about 100 and the cap was 109. Next year, the cap is at 134. So when he says he wants to be extended at his max, he's saying pay me the max raise, which is 20% or something in that realm. And he wants like 30, it's like 32 a year. It's basically in that same Wiggins-ish range. I don't know if he's going to get that much, but I understand what he's asking for. Can we have a Draymond conversation? Because here's the thing. He seems to be a lightning rod for players, for our listeners, because he didn't have the most even playoffs, right? Like, let's be real. That was not his best playoffs I've ever seen from him. He did close every series very well, but he had some very down moments at various points during the playoffs. And I think it's because he was hurt. He said coming back from the back injury, he wasn't 100% healthy. And that makes sense because he didn't move the way we're used to him moving. But it also, like, when you're thinking about him long term, you're like, is he going to be more healthy or less?
If I were to take the devil's advocate or the other approach, right? Let's say you were the agent and I'm Bob Myers, I would say, hey, he's hurt and he's freaking hurt and he's going to be hurt moving forward, right? Like,
he's not getting younger.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, who's to say that he's not that same injury or something worse is not going to happen next season? Like, that's what you would think about with Draymond Green. And also, I think the other thing is too with him, who's going to give him money?
Right.
Where is the combination of he's going to get the money that he wants and he's going to land in a situation that he's going to be comfortable in? Where is the combination coming
from? I think that's a fair point, because say what you want for Wiggins is positives or negatives. There will be teams who want to add a two-way 28-year-old wing who fits around that. Like, we thought it was going to be Cleveland. Because he makes so much sense with like Garland and Mobley and Jared Allen, right? And then they got Donovan Mitchell. So I don't know if they're going to actually be able to figure out the cap space to do that. But like, he makes total sense on a team who has like a 1-2 punch and needs like that third guy to do that.
The Lakers have an open slot next season that they're going to, you know, they're using.
I mean, for Kyrie, he is kind of a better fit than Kyrie. Even right. if they'll obviously go for Kyrie because they just buy shiny objects. They're quintessential LA. Just, you know, spend eight times the cost on brand name and just have this like, you know, like fancy purse they're walking around with, even though it makes no sense because they're going to like a dive bar, you know. But you know, that's the Lakers. That's what Hollywood's into. You and I have both.
I was waiting for you to finish that analogy, and it was perfect. And it was fucking perfect. My God. That is the Lakers.
Yeah, but I mean, you could argue that Wiggins makes more sense with LeBron and AD. It's like those two dudes are gonna get 60 points. You need the guy who's gonna bust his ass defensively and guard the wing, not the guy who's like, I know you guys can score, but I want to dribble in circles, you know?
Right. I'm with you. I think that's a spot, but the big point is that there are a ton of teams out there who can either create cap space or will have cap space.
Dallas Mavericks. Like,
oh, another perfect fit. I mean, just another like Dorian Finney-Smith type guy where it's just
better.
Yeah. Just stand in the corner, shoot, which is, I mean, kind of what he does now. Stand in the corner, shoot threes, rebound, and then and just play defense because Luka isn't, right? Just
occasionally fit. Dunk on a dude. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, door dunk on Luka. That's a guy. So that's the market I think you're saying. And I agree that Draymond isn't going to have. Or Draymond just isn't going to like.
Yeah, because like the only teams that make sense for Draymond are teams that need, like Boston could use Draymond, to be honest. Even though, I mean,
they could. Yes, they could.
They could use. Do you see the way those guys dribbled the ball? Draymond could use his left hand a little more than that. Although I don't know how
Draymond would traffic pop the hell.
I mean,
out
I don't know how much. I don't know how much Tatum wants to run split cuts all day.
Jaylen Brown might quit. Actually, now that I think about it, he might lose his mind. But okay, that is a team.
Maybe,
I mean,
yeah, maybe not the best fit, but like that's the point. Like, you need a team with like scorers, but also they need a facilitator, right?
I mean the Cavs, another one maybe, because but maybe not. Actually, either way, I just think. When you're a team that's also looking to pay him, and part of what you want to do when you're a team that wants to pay guys money is you know they're going to be there. You know consistently Andrew Wiggins is going to play 75 games. And I think the Warriors can survive Draymond playing 50 games next season, I think. But other teams, up-and-coming teams that look at Draymond to be that veteran leader, and he plays 45, 50 games, and then you got to deal with his personality, right? Like, are they giving him 30-plus? Right? I just don't see. I just think if I'm Bob Myers, I'm just saying to Draymond, we'll sign you right now to a contract that makes sense. Do you think that's the most likely option? That they're just both guys know Draymond's too smart. He knows that he's not going to get the money.
Do you think Rich Paul wants him to get free agency? Let's be honest about this. If you are Draymond's agent, do you only want your guy to get to free agency because you know you have a ton of options?
Sure.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
Rich Paul's a smart guy, I think.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of teams out there that have the ability to, the better way to put it is teams who make sense to go after Draymond. There's just not a lot of them out there. Like Denver makes sense. They don't have much money left. I mean, I think for Atlanta maybe, but I don't know. That's also messy. It's just one of those things where I think he's talking big because he knows he doesn't have the greatest options, right?
Yes.
Like there's always Portland. Yes. Portland's the one. But
oh God. I think that's the point right there. I think Draymond knew this. He knows this is gonna happen. He doesn't actually think he's gonna get a max next offseason. So I think he's gonna make a ruckus. You and I have brought this up every podcast. He's got Steph in his pocket. Steph's going to go to Bob and Joe and be like,
Steph's getting him an extra five.
Exactly. Like Steph's going to say, you either sign the guy or I don't know what he's going to do, but like you sign that guy, you make sure I get my guy, which is again, fair. Steph has played with him and they've won four championships together. Steph needs him. Draymond needs Steph, both of those guys, right, in order to win more championships. So I think at the end of the day that those guys make sure a contract gets done. Because isn't the same thing kind of happened last time? Didn't we kind of think that Draymond would get more money than he did? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Chris Haynes reports that he signed for 4 years, $100 million. And we're kind of sitting here like, maybe he should have got. But it's how much that Draymond, it's what he gets. It's kind of what he gets because of the way that he plays and other team situations and the contract. He's just not going to get the max that he ever wants. It's just him making a big stink about it. And then
let me ask you this. Who has a bigger who gets a bigger contract? And it doesn't even have to be the Warriors. Wiggins or Draymond?
Wiggins.
Yeah, I would say the same.
Yeah.
I think just market power is what it is. I think you could argue Draymond uniquely matters more and does more things.
Yes,
but,
I think so.
But every team could use Wiggins. Every team could use a wing with that skill set. Draymond is just like such a peculiar fit.
Well, you talk about market powers. Like Andrew Wiggins is going to get paid more versus 29 other teams. Draymond gets paid was worth more on this one team, but your contract in the market is based on the 29 other teams. It's not based on one team. So when Ballmeyer sits across from you, he's going to say, "Well, we're going to pay you what the market is, whatever other people are willing to pay you, right? We're not going to pay you what you're worth to us specifically. I mean, no salesperson is ever going to do that, right? No agent is ever going to do that. So
you get better. Everyone can tell Andy and I've had way too many years of sales experience. let's hit on a little Jordan Poole here. To me, like I'm going to save this stuff, but like to me, I always felt like it's almost impossible to do an early extension with him because he can probably find a team who's willing to throw a max at him to be their Donovan Mitchell, be their lead guard.
Easily.
And I just don't think it makes sense for the Warriors to give that to him early. Like they're worse if they want, since he's restricted, let's say a team like the Utah Jazz are like, we need Jordan Poole. He's going to lead our next, our next iteration. And we're going to we have all this cap space because we traded everyone. We're gonna give them the full max. Then the Warriors can always match it, right? But there's no reason for the Warriors to like overpay that. So I think he's just kind of gonna. It's hard to see him signing an early extension. Is where I'm at.
The only fear with Jordan Poole is that he gets injured, and to me, it's like even if he gets it, like.
Do you think he's not going to get the same offer that do you think he's not going to get Anfernee Simons money if he's injured?
Anfernee Simons money, definitely. He's going to get it regardless. I think he gets it regardless. 100 mil, I think he gets that regardless. But Jalen Brunson, yeah. I think he gets that money. The gamble for him is that, and again, it depends on what kind of injury, obviously, like just standard ACL, right? It depends on when he gets it. But like you look at Colin Sexton. I mean, Colin Sexton got a fair amount of money. Not as much as he probably should have gotten if he had stayed healthy.
He definitely thought he was getting a bigger deal. Otherwise, he would have signed earlier than December. Right.
And I don't really like Colin Sexton, but he's a good basketball player. He's in that pool mode where he's a score first guard that is young and maybe could lead a team somewhere. So I think that's worst case scenario for Jordan Poole, right? Is that Colin Sexton situation. So you hit that versus the restricted max that he can make. I mean, that's a fair bit of money. That's a fair bit of money difference there that Jordan Poole could lose. But I think if you're Jordan Poole, why would I sign a 4-100 right now, whatever? And the Warriors aren't going to offer, I think, anything more than that right now, right? You think the Warriors are going to – I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, I think he's got the widest range. And because the Warriors cap situation, I think since he's restricted, they can always just match it. You know what I'm saying? Like they always can – like I said –
trade him.
If the Utah Jazz come – out next year and they're like, Jordan, 4 years, 150. The Warriors still have 3 days to be like, we're going to match that or something else, you know? So they're not, because of that, I think his will take the longest. And I just don't expect it to be, I don't expect an early extension.
And it doesn't really make sense for Jordan Poole specifically.
I still don't know if I think any of them will get done early, but I am starting to feel like Wiggins, I feel a little optimistic on it. I think if they do get done, it'll be close to that like training camp, the end of training camp. But
yeah. I mean, there's time. I actually think I thought that those two guys would get done. I thought Draymond and Wiggins would get done. I think Draymond's is going to get done similar to the first time his got done. Kind of less money than we thought, kind of out of nowhere, but it just makes sense for both sides. Same thing for Wiggins, but I think you and I, we both know that Jordan Poole, this one's going until restricted free agency. This one's going until the Magic give him 140 or whatever it is. And then the Warriors sit there and just like, fuck. Do we trade the guy or do we? Joe Lacob's like, dude, how many more Swedish House Mafia concerts do we got to throw at Chase Center to
Bad Bunny gonna come back around? Tell him not to go to the Coliseum. Come here. For sure. All right, man. We'll be back Wednesday. Make sure to join us for the rewatch. And then after camp starts, it's going to get real fun.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.